All right. The non-parametric methods have a range of different approaches, and we'll talk about just the basics of how you go about doing these and some of the thought process behind developing these models. And then we'll dive into some of the actual tests themselves. So there's, we're trying to avoid making a lot of assumptions, but in some cases, the methods that we're using, the data that we're using, doesn't meet those assumptions. So for example, in a t-test, we're assuming that the data comes from a symmetrical, roughly bell-shaped curve. So it's somewhat like a normal. Now it's pretty robust to being not very normal at all, but it has a limit. And in some cases, if our data is too far off, if the underlying distribution is too far off, we can be misled. Of course, we're going to be able to get calculations, and there's not a convenient way to test, especially with a small sample set. But we still have to make those assumptions. So it's well worth understanding what assumptions you're making or which ones are involved with the process that you're using or the analysis you're using. But if you're using non-parametric methods, there's fewer assumptions. There's still some, and there's some based on that particular methodology. And we'll still be using things like hypothesis tests and using different significance levels and a variety of other things. But the underlying data, the distribution that we're dealing with, doesn't have to be assumed or known in many cases for the method to work, the non-parametric method to work. So when we're dealing with parametrics, statistics, we're dealing with either we know what the distribution is and we have parameters, say from the population, or we know we have enough samples, say 30 or more samples, that we can get a reasonable estimate of what distribution we're dealing with and then calculate those statistics. And when that's true, when we actually have the ability to know what the distribution is, then we can use that information to create very powerful, meaning that it allows us to make distinctions more precisely. So we can detect differences, we can detect trends and so on with fewer samples more accurately than with the non-parametric methods. It's one of the big advantages of assuming that it's a normal distribution, but it runs afoul of making good decisions when that assumption isn't true. So non-parametrics, as I've mentioned in the opening or the introduction piece of this, is that we're not assuming a population distribution. We don't have to say, oh, we think it's normally distributed, or we have no evidence that it's not normally distributed, using the double negative logic of statistics. But we also can use non-parametrics or some of the approaches for data that doesn't really have a distribution. It's just rank order data. Like, what's the your top 10 favorite records? Well, you're putting a rank order on those, but the distance between the first rank and the second rank for different people can be very, very different. It can be very close or it can be very far apart. One could stand alone and then the remaining nine are very close and evenly matched, or vice versa. You could have the first nine very close and dispute which one's the first ranking, and number 10 is just tailing far in the distance. So that kind of rank ordering data doesn't work with distribution data or distributions, but there are some non-parametric methods that will work just fine. So which should you use? Now, I've run into some organizations, mostly medical device organizations, that will choose not to make the assumptions and in part of the underlying distribution, in part because they have very small samples, but two, because it's more conservative, is they need overwhelming evidence to detect differences or detect a trend or so on. So it's very, very solid evidence that the trend exists, for example. Where if you make some assumptions to simplify the analysis or make it more powerful, yes, you get more accurate ability to detect differences. It's contingent, though, and that your assumption of the distribution is correct. So sometimes you want to be very precise and detect small differences, and you have reasonable evidence that you have a particular distribution. Well, then parametric statistics is just fine. In other cases, you may have a low risk tolerance, and using non-parametric methods is one way to put that into action. And then the third is that you know that you don't have a well-behaved or defined distribution, or you have rank data. In such cases, then non-parametrics is really your only approach. So one of the things, we didn't bring it up when we were talking about the different distributions in a previous lesson, and I'm pretty sure we don't have a section in the body of knowledge about how do you test if something is normal or not. We might. I think there might be something in the hypothesis test region. But this is kind of an aside, is there's at least 4 or 5 different ways you can test for normality for a data set. And the simple, easiest one is just plot it in a histogram and take a look at it. And depending on how much data you have, it will give you an accurate answer or not. But having just a couple of points, it's really difficult to detect. But if you have 100 points, you should be able to tell whether it's normal or not to some degree. Now, in some cases, you need more specific testing for this. And there's graphical methods and calculated methods and all kinds of algorithms for that. And you should be familiar with the 4 or 5 different methods that are available. And so I'm going to leave that as an aside for now. I think we'll come back to it in a future lesson. But it becomes important when we're determining whether we can assume our data is normal or not. You should be able to test it to see if it is normal enough. All right, next section we'll take a look at ranking and the kind of data that's involved with that.